chapter 10. I want to read like the first four verses. Romans chapter 10. I got this in my head, and you guys are stuck with it now. So, Romans 10, beginning in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I'm just going to stop right there. I heard a little bit on a radio program, and somebody did one of these things again, and it just kind of set me off. So, like I said, y'all are stuck with it. This is the Apostle Paul writing about the Jews of his day. You know, somewhere around 2,000 years ago. Now, today, religious people's attitude is exactly the same as what they were 2,000 years ago. Yeah. And this thinking that people had 2,000 years ago is the same thinking that's going on in man's head today. Religious man has not changed at all, unless he's got worse and worse. The religious man, nowadays what we call the professing Christian, is exactly the same as these religious Jews of almost 2,000 years ago. The professing Christian of our day has a zeal of God.
Yes, they do.
I'm telling you what, you just look at any town and look at any church building you want to. Somebody come up with some money to put that up. Somebody raised that money to put that up. Somebody gave that money to put that up. They have a zeal of God. They will gather and give enormous amounts of money for enormous buildings and programs and basketball gyms and whatever else they conceive of as godly. They have TV and radio programs that they broadcast from these enormous buildings. That all costs money. And that takes a zeal.
Yes, it does.
It does. Some of these preachers are sincere. I'll give them that much. And some are not. I'll take that much. But I'm going to tell you something. Their devoted followers are sincere. And they do have a zeal of God. But not according to knowledge.
Right. That's right. Right.
Paul wrote this about 2,000 years ago, give or take a little bit. And nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. Not a thing. The reason I know their zeal is not according to knowledge is that I've heard what they say.
Yeah.
And you've heard what they say. That's how Paul knew. He'd heard them. He'd been a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He'd been around them. They had a zeal of God, even more than what we got now, because they dressed funny and all that other stuff. Pulled the little thing down with the word of God before their eyes, had their curls on, their hats, blew the horn before they give alms, and whatever else they wanted to do. They had a zeal of God. Paul said, not according to knowledge. I believe him. But it was because he knew what they believed. He knew what they taught. He may have taught the same thing at one time.
Yeah.
Saul of Tarsus used to believe and probably teach the same thing. But Saul of Tarsus changed. Actually, Saul of Tarsus was changed.
Yeah.
That's all right. I was getting to it. You have to pause for effect sometimes. These men and women have a zeal of God which is not according to knowledge. Just listen to them. That's all you have to do. Just listen to them. Because if you listen, these zealous people will tell you themselves. If you listen, it won't take long to listen, to understand, excuse me, to hear and to understand that these people are ignorant of God's righteousness. Now, it's not they do not care about God's righteousness. They do. That's why they've got a zeal of God. That's why they build those buildings. That's why they put those TV shows on. That's why they put the radio programs on. That's why they build a basketball gymnasium so they can have a church league and they won't have to play with a heathen. Even though most of the people on the teams that they play on are about as heathen as they get and only show up during basketball or softball season. So they can play. But it's not that they don't care about God's righteousness. It's they're ignorant of it. They don't believe God's righteousness because they're ignorant of it. They do not speak of God's righteousness. They do not seek for God's righteousness. They don't believe God's righteousness. And that's because they do not know of God's righteousness. Now, how do we know that? Paul kept going. Because they're ignorant, they're going about. They're going about. I remember when Henry Mahan preached on this, he said, they're going about, they will go about everywhere to establish their own righteousness. That shows their ignorance, because the scriptures are clear. Man's righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And they're going about to establish some. Good luck with that. No, that's being sarcastic. Ain't no luck with that. Because there's no righteousness that's not God's righteousness. Just like there's no other gospel than the gospel Paul preached. There's no righteousness except for God's righteousness. Everything else is filthy rags in God's sight. But buddy, they want to try. Man is still going about, always moving, because you got to keep going for God. He's got no hands except my hands. He's got no feet except my feet. And he's in pitiful shape if that's the truth. And it's not the truth. They are going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. There's the point. Man will not submit. Man will not submit to God. He may submit to a creed. He may submit to a credo. He may submit to a church so he doesn't get shunned if you're Amish or something to that effect. But he will not submit himself to God. For not knowing the righteousness of God and their righteousness seeking to establish to the righteousness of God, they did not submit. That's Young's literal translation of Romans 10:3. To the righteousness of God, they did not submit. I like that. And I've seen it. It's true. Man must submit to the righteousness of God, and man as he is born will not submit because he is ignorant of God's righteousness. He's ignorant of God. He's ignorant of Christ. He's ignorant of light, and he's ignorant of life. I said man would not submit to him who is righteousness. Because the righteousness of God is a person. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God, and man will not have this man to reign over him. Man will go anywhere and do anything. They will go about. They'll do anything except submit to the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. They're so ignorant of God's righteousness, when it's written down in front of them, they can't read it.
Amen.
And believe it.
Yeah.
You ever been there?
Yeah, I have.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I've been there.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
They are ignorant of God's righteousness to the point that even when someone tells them about it, they say, I don't believe that.
Right.
I never heard such a thing. That's exactly right. They've never heard such a thing. That's what ignorance means. You can read it to them and they won't have it. I have read scripture to people. I said, well, I don't believe that. I know. That's the whole point. I was hoping you would. That's why I read it to you. I didn't believe it one time. But I do now. Saul of Tarsus didn't believe it at one time. But he came to. They won't have it. They'll have to go about to establish, trying to establish their own righteousness, because they want to offer that righteousness to God. They want to offer God something because they don't want to submit themselves to God. God doesn't need anything we have.
Right.
He doesn't need anything you've got. He doesn't need anything I got. He doesn't need anything anybody in this world has got.
Right.
If you got it, God gave it to you. That's exactly right. Bill Gates has got what he's got because God gave it to him, and he stole it from Steve Jobs at Apple. Sure. God let him do it. And I don't think Steve Jobs is hurting that much either. So, but anyway, God doesn't need anything we have. But that's what these people want.
Yeah, that's what they want.
They want to offer up something to God. They want to do something for God. They don't think they need God to do anything for them. Now, the reason I got into this is because of verse 4. And I think it's amazing that this verse 4 follows these first three verses, because of the fact that all of this that Paul has stated up to this point is building up to this fourth thing. And it's very prevalent in our day because we have this written. And these people that go about to establish their own righteousness, because they are ignorant of God's righteousness, because they are so ignorant of God's righteousness, they will misquote this verse, misinterpret this verse so horribly bad it's not even funny. Because they will get to this verse and they'll quote part of it. Walter, you've been there. I've been there, and I know some others have too. They will shout part of this, for Christ is the end of the law. And they'll stop right there. And they say, but we're not under law, we're under grace. Everybody's under grace. There is no more law. We're not under law. We're under grace. See, Christ is the end of the law. They shout it again. And I'm reminded of that fella's notes, Walter, that they saw, some fella saw, I forget who it was, and told us about it. It had his notes for a sermon, and off to the side here on the side, it had written, handwritten, logic is weak here, shout. That should be written on a lot of sermons. The logic is weak, so make it loud. And people love it. They love it. Because I'm going to tell you, they're still ignorant of God's righteousness. Because I'll tell you this, and you can take this to the bank. The natural man will always stop at exactly the wrong spot when reading the scriptures.
Amen.
Every time. They'll shout out that phrase, "For Christ is the end of the law," and they'll leave out the rest. And they'll begin teaching from that phrase that the law is gone. The law is ended, now there's only grace. We no longer have to keep the law for salvation. Praise God. Shout. Well, A, the law is not gone. And B, salvation has always been by grace.
Yes, always.
Always. And I've heard them say that too. Let's hurry up. Thank God the law's gone, Mason. We don't have to get saved by law. But everybody will always say, by grace, yes. Logic is weak. Shout. Now, the scripture states that Christ is the end of law, the end of the law for righteousness. Yes, that's written down. But Paul didn't stop there. This is all one thought. It's all one sentence. It's all one thing. And you can't leave out part of it just because you don't agree with it. Unless you want to be one of those ones who are ignorant of God's righteousness. Christ Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Period. That's where the period is put here. Christ is not the end of the law, period. Christ is not the end of the law to everyone that believes, period. You need all three parts. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Because that's what Paul wrote, moved by the Spirit of God, for us. All of it. There's all kind of people out there that'll take all kind of scriptures, or at least all kind of pieces of scripture. And what they want to do is prove their point. And that's all they've got, is their point. And they will shout when their logic is weak. We need to see all three parts of this statement that Paul wrote for our edification. Because he wrote this to brethren. He didn't write this to the natural man. He didn't write this to those who are ignorant of God's righteousness. He wrote this to his brethren. This is what Paul is writing. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. If the law were kept by a man, that would be righteous. But I think I can only come up with one man who ever kept the law. Just one. And Walter, it wasn't Noah, and it wasn't Abraham. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How much law did Noah keep? Was there one? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, not only these two, but all of those who came into this world and who died before Christ came are described as having faith in God. And having seen Christ's day, and were glad. Hebrews 11 starts the list off with Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Samuel, David, and Samson. All of these did many wonderful works. They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured. not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Those were wonderful works. They were done in faith. How? Why? These Old Testament saints were not ignorant of God's righteousness. These who were given faith by grace were not going about to establish their own righteousnesses. They believed God. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ and was glad. Moses wrote of me, Christ said. Moses wrote of me. What does the scripture state about all these who lived in the Old Testament times? And some who knew and spoke with God as a man spoke friend to friend? These all died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The world was not worthy of these Old Testament saints. The law never gave life. That's not the purpose of the law. That's not the purpose of it. The law has never given life to the dead. And that's what man needs. This is what man in his natural state is. Dead to God. The law doesn't make anyone righteous. The only man who ever kept the law didn't make him righteous. It just showed forth that he was righteous. Jesus Christ. In his fulfillment of the law, he was not made righteous. It just showed that he was. The law has a different purpose for those whom God has given life. Brethren, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But it's not. Paul writing in Galatians 3 and verse 21. Verse 22 says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All are under sin, but them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Believers of every age are saved, are given salvation by God. Christ and the Holy Spirit, by grace, through faith, And that's not of themselves. It's a gift to God. Romans 7 says believers are dead to the law by the body of Christ. The law doesn't justify us. We are delivered from the law. Because the law does nothing but say, curse you, you're guilty. The law shows our failures, and we have many. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. If you don't believe, Christ is not the end of the law for righteousness to you. My logic wasn't weak, so I didn't have to shout. If you don't believe, he's not talking to you. If you're going about to establish your own righteousness, Paul's not talking to you, he's talking about you. If you do not believe that the same law is still there, showing that you are guilty before God, even if you're ignorant of that fact, God knows it. These people knew something was wrong somewhere. That's why they were going about, trying to establish a righteousness, because they kind of had this feeling they might need one. They know something's missing, but they don't know what. No, actually, they don't know who.
Amen.
Or whom, to use proper English. They don't know him. Because if the answer to the question is him, you're supposed to say whom. That's all I know. Wherever men are, there is ignorance of God's righteousness. It's true in Paul's day, it's true in our day, it was true in David's day, it was true in Noah's day.
Yeah.
It's true in Moses' day. It's true of man as he is born, is an alien from God. And I'm going to tell you something. Where there's ignorance of God's righteousness, Peter wrote this, as also in all his epistles, speaking of Paul, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, not just Paul's stuff, under their own destruction. Peter refers to these people as unlearned. I'm going to tell you something. If you're unlearned, you're unstable.
Yeah.
If you're unstable, you're unlearned. These things go together. The unlearned are tossed to and fro. That sounds kind of unstable, doesn't it? With every wind of doctrine. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're bold enough, if you're brave enough, or if you're crazy enough to turn on your television on Sunday, or turn on your radio to certain radio stations anytime, I'm going to tell you, you will hear every wind of doctrine that there has ever been. You will hear every bit of craziness that man has come up with in the name of religion. Even just Christian religion. I'm not talking about Hindus or Buddhists or Muslims, okay? That's a whole other category. Yeah. All right? Just in Christianity.
Yeah.
There'll be every nut in America's got a radio program, I swear.
Yeah.
And everybody on television. There are a few exceptions. Very few that I know of. Because I only know this area as far as this part of it goes. They are unstable and unlearned, and they are ignorant of God's own righteousness. They are ignorant of Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. He is our life. He is our light. He is our redemption. He is everything to the child of God. And the only reason we're not ignorant is because he doesn't want us to be ignorant anymore. And he's given us his spirit to learn of him. Take the things of mine and show them to you. And to lead and guide us into all truth. Teach us. And if you don't understand, it's time to make you call in an election, sure. Sorry. It's just the way it is. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And I don't think God will have you to be ignorant either. He'll teach you. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this place and this time. And we ask for your blessings because we need them in this world, which is so swallowed up that we don't feel a part of it, because we're not a part of it anymore. Thank you for your salvation, for your redemption, which was given us through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.